So glad to be here with you. Our church is in Richfield Park. I don't know if you've been to Richfield Park. It's my Fort Lee. Not far from here, actually, but come by and see us anytime. Just so glad to be here to share in the Word. It's kind of funny, right? I'm preaching on 103, Psalm 103, and you've been memorizing that. And I swear to you that I didn't know that before I sent the information to the pastor. I pray that, despite the fact that you probably know all about this psalm already and have learned a lot from the pastor regarding this, that the Lord has something new to put upon our hearts because he has chosen the scripture for us today. Amen. And he desires for us to learn this together. And it is God's providence. These kind of things don't happen by chance. They are by the power of the Holy Spirit who is at work in us every day, changing us, gripping us, reminding us that he is with us and that he desires to be first in our lives. This Psalm 103, since you are memorizing this, it might be interesting for you to know that D.A. Carson, who is a great scholar of the Bible, wrote a daily devotional, and you can get one of those. It takes you through the entire Bible in a year. And in this particular chapter, he said that as a family, his brothers and sisters were given a challenge by his parents to memorize this Psalm, and in return they would receive a leather-bound Bible. So I think that you would agree with me that we don't need to have any kind of reward like that to memorize these great words because they're a reward in themselves. Amen? God gives us these words so that we can have them inside of us. And when we memorize them, we carry the Word of God with us in our hearts. And it's an awesome thing to do that. So it's great that you are doing that. And I think that you'll find also, as you go along in life, that God uses those words to build us as his disciples, as his children, to remind us of the strength and the things and the wonderful ways that he wants to be active in our lives. And so what I would like to do is get you up out of your seats for a second to understand this word, bless the Lord, O my soul. Can we say, bless the Lord, O my soul?
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Now let's get on our knees.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
What comes next?
And all that is within me. Bless his holy name.
Okay, you can stand up. When we read the word bless, in this regard, we're talking about adoration of God on our knees. And I don't know about you, but it's very hard for me to get on my knees. Do you agree with me? Amen? That it's hard for us to get down on our knees in our lives and adore God. We think of ourselves as being forced into prayer sometimes. We get forced into doing these things. Reading a Bible mess of a passage each day or a devotional, it becomes a chore. It's something that gets into our way. And more through life, believe me, I'm older than you are. I know this for a fact. I have struggled with this all of my life, and I continue to struggle with it. But God is saying to us here, this is the way that you want to begin your day. Get on your knees before me and worship me. Bless the Lord, O my soul. How hard is that to do? Those such wonderful words to say. And they're so helpful to us. And if we fall on our knees, we are adoring God and praising him. What an awesome thing he has given to us and to teach us. And all we have to do is practice it to know the truth in those words. He gives us that blessing for us to bless him. And he gives us the gift of blessing so that we can return it to him. If you keep your Bibles open to this passage, I know you don't need to since you memorized it already. But if you want to keep your Bibles open, it's useful to follow along. The next verse, in verse 2, says, bless the Lord, O my soul, again, and forget not all of his benefits. And here we have the benefits. We usually think of benefits as something that you first want to check out when you get a new job. What am I going to get in return for what I do for this job, for this occupation? What is, if I get a job with AT&T, what are my benefits from working here? I remember when I was working in New York one time, I was kind of, you know, naive about it and ignorant to all the things having to do with benefits. And so this girl who was sitting opposite me said, are you in school? And I said, yeah, I'm in school. I go to Manhattan School of Music. She So you know that there's a benefit in this company that will pay all of your education. There was a time and I said, thank you. I didn't know that, you know, and so I was blessed by God, and God used this person to tell me that at the beginning of my life. I just met my now wife, you know, at that time, and I had all these different things going on in my life, and I was going to school, and God brought this word through this person opposite me and said, there's a benefit for education, and they'll help you to pay, and they paid for my graduate work. I wouldn't have known if somebody told me. And here it is, that God is saying this to us. Forget not all of my benefits to you. And what does he begin with? Forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins. The greatest benefit of being a child of God is to receive the forgiveness of our sins. And I've heard this psalm being described as a psalm that is very lovely. But this lovely psalm is packed with power, man. It is packed with the Holy Spirit. It is packed with benefits and a reminder to us of how horrible sin is and how great God is to overcome it. And this benefit is that I have given my son to you as a living sacrifice. He's alive now and I'm offering him to you. He died and he rose again and here he is. Because of him you can live. And you have this benefit of forgiveness of your sins. We're going to talk more about this. I think this psalm is really bent around that this person is coming, not just from what he learned from someone else, and he's repeating it, but he is saying it from experience. I know that this is real. I know that this is real, and that's what I want to share with you today, some of my life, because I know that this is real. I didn't always know that, and I didn't always speak like this, but I know that this is real. And forgiveness is real because my sin was so terrible and Christ came in and washed it away. He heals all your diseases. He heals your diseases. Can you imagine that? Do you know someone in your life who is suffering from something, an illness? There's so many people that are dying from disease and we are not praying for God to come into these lives. Do we believe that God can? Or do we just wish it would happen? You know, I'm faced like that as a pastor. What am I going to do when I come into a life of someone who is really suffering from a disease? Do I believe that Jesus Christ can heal any disease? Amen? What do we believe? Is that God limited in what he can do? He redeems your life from the pit. He redeems your life from the pit of Sheol. You're saved from the grips of hell. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in his book about discipleship, goes into talking about baptism, and he says that God reached down into hell and pulled us out from the grips of hell, of death, of Satan. Pulled us out. Powerful reading, because it's true, and he believes it. Rips us out of the grasp of death and gives us life. He redeemed our life from the pit. Crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Does that sound like the gospel to you? Doesn't that sound like the gospel? Here it is, written in the Psalms, probably by David, and he's talking about Jesus coming into our lives, renewing us, making us new, born again, ready to go, just like a youth. But it's not the kind of a thing where a youth is given a new body like a physical body. It's a renewal from the spirit, the soul. And that's why he's saying, my soul, myself, me, blesses the Lord. That's what God is talking about. It's not talking about the physical part. It's talking about the renewal from the heart, from the soul, from the being. And that's what God does. He takes us, he rips us away from this world, and he brings us into this kingdom. And that's what he wants us to bless him for. And why not? Bless the Lord, O my soul. If we would remember that, he says, don't forget all of his benefits. You get up in the morning, this, and this, all of these things that we just read through here are a fantastic way to remind ourselves when we go into the day each day when we get up. This morning I was tempted to go online and read the news because I was interested about who won the fight last night. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to begin with, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Who cares about everything else? in comparison to God. God needs to be important in our lives. He goes on from there and he talks about righteousness and justice for those who are oppressed. And there's so many people that are oppressed in the world. We're socially conscious more and more now. We're being challenged as a church to be involved and not to be staying inside our churches and going out. And I was at a hospital visiting someone who was sick yesterday, and this person who was in the chaplain office said to me, "Pastor, you know, I was talking to two people, and they told me I don't need to go to church anymore because I know God, and I'm saved, and so I don't need to go in fellowship with other people. What should I tell them?" I said to them, "You know what I think we need to do? We need to tell them that the church has been lax in going out into the world and going and showing ourselves and what we believe in and staying inside too much." And you know why I said that? Because people were telling me that. And if we don't learn as a church to go outwards and to reach people, then we are going to be ineffective in this world as disciples of Jesus Christ. Because the world is telling us that we are doing something wrong. And that is why they don't want anything to do with the church. And we need to go out there and say, Jesus Christ is the same today and every day, forever and ever. And his love does not change. And if it means that I need to leave my comfort zone and go out and preach the gospel to you and meet you where you are, then so be it. But there are other things that people are looking for. They're looking for us to be going out and getting socially involved with the problems in the world and showing the world the church as being the true light. But anyway, he goes on and he says these things, right? But then this next section here is just incredible. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. He won't always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. Amen? Amen? He doesn't treat us the way that we should be treated. That's enough to get you on your knees and saying, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, and all is within me. I know that I have done things to people. Every day I do something wrong. I sin against God." And he says, "I'm not going to give you what you deserve. I'm going to treat you with steadfast love. And I want you to do well. I'm here for you. And I want you to be free from that sin." And what do we see today? A friend of ours at church, is a college student actually, went on Facebook. And he said something that was pretty radical these days. He started to say things like, "Do you think that it's fair that we judge the politicians that are in charge of our nation right now?" You would not believe, maybe you would believe, the barrage of hatred toward this young man for saying that we shouldn't judge others. "You don't know what you're talking about. Have you been reading the news? Have you seen what they've done? Did you see what he did? Did you see what he said?" Right? There is absolutely no self. There's no self-examination in our world. There's no accountability for our own selves, for our own sins. Everybody is like, "You shouldn't do that. You should. What are you doing? Look what he's having on. You made this mistake, and look at all these different things." No one says, "I fear that I could be just as bad, be it not for the grace of God. Be it not for the grace of God, I would." Would you like to be president of the United States today? If you would, then do it. Please. Right? I mean, it's an immense responsibility to be a leader in the world or in the church anywhere. And if you think you can do a better job for it, then please stand forward and offer your services, because we need people that really are capable. But if we're not, that we need to be on our knees and saying, "I adore you, Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Because you have looked down upon me and my sin, and my waywardness, and all the things that I have done against you, and you show what? Steadfast love, compassion. You don't give me what I deserve." I admire that kid for doing that. He took a lot of guts, and he took a lot of, he got a lot of trouble for it. But he didn't care. He kept on talking about it, and he stood his ground. And he was very reasonable. "For as high as the heavens are from the earth, so great is steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east was from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. And this brings into mind, these are beautiful analogies that you need to keep in your mind. These are not beautiful sayings for the sake of it. It is saying that when you sin and you're forgiven, so far is your sin taken away from you. The heavens and from the earth, east to west. All of these images, a father showing compassion towards their children. How quickly fathers, right? I mean, I don't know if you can relate to this, but I mean, if you're not a father, if you're not a parent, if you're very quick to, or even if you are a father, if you are a parent, we're very quick to judge those people that are not in our family. We have lots of compassion and patience with people who are in our families, but if somebody else does something, watch out. But our compassion, and the things as parents we need to learn, is that that compassion is there to show, be shown towards all people. And that's the way God treats us. But really, what I want to talk to you a little bit about today is rather personal, and it happened recently in my life. It comes from this fear of God that is missing in our world. It's been missing in our world always. But God repeatedly reminds us that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Right? I went to a place that I hadn't been to in 40 years. It was a Christian camp, a family resort, and I worked there I was at a basketball clinic there 1 year, and then I was working there in the kitchen one summer, and I worked there as a waiter, and I was a singer in the program that they produced. They had music. And so I worked there for 2 summers. And I went back there after 40 years. I was always telling my wife, I don't really want to go back there. I don't want to really go back. It's a really nice place and everything like that. It was a Christian place. Many of my friends, you know, that I still keep in touch with were there. But I didn't want to go back there. And I was really, I was struggling with this whole thing. And then finally we went back. We had some friends that bought a house on the lake many years ago, and they were always asking us to come. And so we went there, and my wife and I were enjoying ourselves. But one night, I woke up, and I could not go back to sleep. And it was like all night, I could not sleep. And I went out into the living room, and I sat down, and I started to pray. And I started to sweat. This is really, I don't think it ever really happened to me, aside from a time when I was like maybe 12 years old, 10 years old, and our family was going through some problems. I was calling out to God. But this time I sat down on this couch, and I was really, really feeling God's presence. But it wasn't a presence where I was feeling at peace. It was one where I was feeling overwhelmed by the greatness of this powerful God who created the universe. And he was coming down on me. And I felt this great weight, and all I could do was shake and pray and hold my hands together and say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner before you. I am so sorry for all the things that I've done. Please don't take my life. I kid you not. It was like 2 weeks ago. I told my wife about it, and we talked about it. And she said, God was bringing you to this place to have done with all the things that you sinned in your life during that time when you were here. I was really struggling with this. In fact, it was between the age of 15 and 23 until I met my wife, who really basically saved my life because she was a Christian. And I had been calling myself a Christian, but I wasn't really living a Christian life. I really loved Jesus, but I wasn't living a Christian life. And God was telling me, it was during that time, and you needed to come back to this place to experience those things again, to understand how great my love is for you, and to know that I was with you at that time in those darkest hours where your life was truly in danger. Your life was truly in danger because of the sin in your life and the things that you were doing. And I showed mercy on your life, and I want to show mercy on your life now, and I want you to be done with all of that, and I want you to know that my love is greater than the distance between earth and heaven, and my love and my forgiveness is greater between east and west. Amen? Amen? It is greater than all of the things that we've done in our lives, and God comes into our lives in great power when we fear him in this way. And that's what I want to encourage you to do today. If there's something in your life, if there's some place in your life, if there's something in your mind or something that you need, that you've been avoiding going to go there with the hand of God holding on to yours and saying, Lord, I need you to take me to this place that I can be done with that sin in my life. I can be done with these things that I've been holding on to and feeling bad about so that I can be released and proclaim your name. That is what God is doing through fear. It is to release us from this sinfulness that grips us and wants to destroy our lives. And there are a lot of people who have written about this, including David in the scriptures. They're in awe of God. He comes upon them in these great, powerful ways. Moses, when he was returning, he was going to go to Egypt. Remember when it said God was going to kill him? Right? His sin was so great. He came down in great power. God is an awesome God. And when you get to be my age, you know, a lot of you are young. When you get to be my age, sometimes you get into this kind of a place where you say, I've been a Christian and I am a Christian. End of story. Hallelujah, I'm saved. I don't need to feel these kind of feelings, these kind of things that God brings us through in life are really meant for the time when we first are saved. You know, these kind of experiences and things like that are just meant for a certain time when you're really on fire for God, and then the rest of your life you kind of just be a Christian. That's a dangerous place to be. That's a dangerous place to be because we start to feel that we're going to do it all on our own. God talks to us and he says, I am here to show you that there are things that I need to work in your life and to continue to sanctify, to bring you to the place where you're going to come into my presence at the end of your life. And then he brings us into this place here. As for man, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him, for he knows our frame. He remembers that we're dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it, and it's gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting from those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. It's very wise for us to look at our lives and to see it ourselves the way that God does. Why does he show such compassion on us? Because he knows the way that we're built. He made us, that we're from dust, that our life is temporary, that we can't compete with him, although we try. And we think that sometimes we have enough power, even physical power sometimes, to do anything. But God says, do you have any idea who I am? Do you have any idea who I am, who you're talking to here? He possesses such great power to be able to put the planets in their place, to be able to arrange for you and I to walk on the face of the earth instead of just popping up into space and losing this sense of gravity. John Calvin used to tell people whenever they got too big for their bridges to look into the sun and say, can you stare into the sun? What happens when you stare into the sun? You have to look away, right? Why? Because it's greater than you are. And there's a power behind that is greater than we are. And it's a good thing for us to stand there and to look up into the sun and see if we can do it. We can't because we are feeble. We are small. But God is great. He desires to make us powerful through his power, through his might. And that's what he does in our lives. I was reading in it was a sermon about some gravestones. Gravestones of people that were in New England, and these, I guess, had been there for quite some time. But I'd like to read you just a few of them. Etched into the headstones were things like this. I told you I was sick. I told you I was sick. Another one says, here lies John McDonald. My surgeon was Dr. Anthony Wendell. I hate to be that surgeon. But then there were some other ones on a more serious side. There were other gravestones that had something that really showed a faith in God. And then the granite of one tombstone is carved, Hosea McKinister. He made grand the name of God. On another stone was this, Murdo Hamilton lies here. In his life, he blessed God. This man went on to say this, nobody knows now who these people were. Their place knows them no more. But Hosea McKinister made grand the name of God, and Myrtle Hamilton blessed God in his life. And now the Lord only knows who these men were and who they are forever and ever. You see, God is preparing each one of us for a day when we are going to meet our Maker. We are going to meet him. And these tombstones are a great way to remind ourselves of what we would like to be remembered for, is it not? What do you want to be remembered for? What is your legacy in life? Do we want to be remembered for how much money or the property that we own? I can tell you right now that I lost my parents in the last 5-6 years, and I thought that all their belongings would be eagerly grabbed by all of my siblings, and they all said, no, I really don't have any use for that. And so I started to think with my wife about our own things, and I asked our kids, and they said, we're really not interested in all those things that you have. And you think, wow, why not? And the reason is because they have things of their own, and they have their own lives, and they have their own ways, and they have their own thinking of, they're not into the silverware. They're more into these other kinds of things that they want to use, and, it's a lot less fancy, and there's less trouble with the things that we wanted to hand down. And what I've also realized is that as much as I love my father and my mother, the things that they owned are not going to last here either. What lasts is God. What lasts is one who writes on their tombstone or has someone remember them that way. Here lies someone who blessed the Lord with their life. Here lies the person who dedicated themselves to the glory of God. Now in the face of all these things, people will laugh and they'll think, what a meaningless kind of a way to be remembered. What does that mean anyway? But for those of us who have tasted the grace of God in our lives when we sin, and we are honest about it from our hearts, that we have deeply sinned and done things that no one on this earth can solve and resolve, that we'll come to the point in our own lives that we say, that is the way I want to be remembered. I want to know God. I want to bless him with the way that I live. I don't want to live in sin. I don't want to go down those roads that are going to make me come into trouble with him at all. I want to dedicate my life to Christ, because Jesus Christ is the reason I'm standing here today. He brought my wife into my life when I was totally messed up and in chaos. And she didn't stand for my nonsense. She brought Christ and discipline and the love of God and saying no to the things that I was useless to hearing yes for. She said, this is who I serve, and this is the way it's going to be if you want to be seeing me. And that's exactly what I needed in my life. I needed a reminder of who we really belong to and who we live for. So anyway, this is a song, and I'd like to teach you a song. Can I teach you a song? It's by Andre Crouch. I don't know if you know Andre Crouch. He's from a long time ago, but he wrote a lot of great music, and it's called Bless His Holy Name. And so, do you know this song? Anybody know it? It goes, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Can you sing it? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. That goes like this. He has done great things. That's your song? He has done great things. He has done great things. Bless His holy name. You guys gotta have to sing a lot better than that. Come on, I'm an old man and I'm singing louder than you. Stand up, let's sing together, okay? Did you prepare this song? Okay, well, let's sing this one again and then you can come and do that one. Bless the Lord, O my soul,
and all that is within me bless his holy name. He has done great things. He has done great things. He has done great things. Bless his holy name.
Worship your holy name.